Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's already Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yes.
It's gorgeous out.
Hey, Jor, it's a little warm out there, a little sticky, but...
It's a little moist.
Any day you can wear shorts to work and a t-shirt. I've saved some money this summer. And again, I'm looking for silver linings. We're all looking for silver linings. But I think people are spending less money on clothing because some of us aren't hanging out with other people routinely in the office. So... Mm-hmm. Why blow money on clothes? Have you bought clothes and shoes and all that stuff? I'm afraid to ask.
I have. It's just because I really like clothes. I consider myself a collector. And I dress for myself. So if I wear pants during the day, they're nice pants that I like. Sometimes I'm in my robe. But yes, I do. I like clothes. Certainly not as much. I'm not going out to stores. I'm not shopping in stores. Absolutely not like that. But I've bought less. But Paul, my view right now is I work from my bedroom because my husband and I used to office together, but he's working. So I'm working in my bedroom now, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing four half-naked boys. Yes, they're wearing shorts, all playing spike ball in the park across from the street. I own one of them. I gave birth to one of them, and it just makes me so happy to see these kids, you know, shirts and skins out there playing in the warm summer heat. And that makes me really happy. But I tell you this story because as I was actively looking out my window, enjoying the moment, a bird slammed into my window, and ooh, there are remnants of feathers on the window. Has this ever happened to you?
We've had some bird strikes. Yeah, it's. I feel bad for the bird. All right.
He flew away. He seemed okay, but I don't know if that's ever happened to me before, where a bird slammed himself into my window.
Well, obviously not a fan.
I guess not. And we were worried about that happening at U.S. Bank Stadium. I don't think that many birds are getting murdered, but I tried to take a picture of the feathers. Some are still lingering, but the picture didn't come out good. So I'm sorry I can't post it for you. But bizarro start to our show here. We had foxes and bunnies having sex yesterday, and now we have birds slamming into windows today.
Alfred Hitchcock, the birds. That's how it starts, with one bird.
Tippy Hedren.
Be careful out there. Look, there's enough heavy news. We're going to try something different and start with funny or bizarre news. The world's last remaining Blockbuster video store is now also an Airbnb.
Oh boy.
So they're keeping the store open, but they're renting it out at night. The world's last Blockbuster is in Bend, Oregon. And basically what you can do if you go online, Airbnb... You can recreate a 1990s era sleepover inside the store. It has a sofa bed, an old school TV, and a VCR, so you can watch those Blockbuster VHS tapes on your VCR. And get this, a one night stay costs $4, the same price as a new release from Blockbuster. I thought that was a typo. $4? You can't get anything for $4. A bad cup
of
coffee.
So you can sleep. You can sleep there for $4 a night.
Apparently. Yeah. Sounds too good to be true. There has to be a catch. They probably make you clean up the place. I don't know.
Is it bring your own popcorn or is it unlimited snacks? I mean, I have such fond memories of going to the Blockbuster and, you know, scrolling through all of the racks. And then when you get to the front, they had the microwave popcorn and the big tub that you could make when you got home. They had all the candy, you know, the movie size candy that, you know, could feed a small army, but somehow we managed to eat during a home movie. So is that the whole experience or is it just, you know, some guy's grimy sofa bed? Pull out couch and you watch a movie on your phone.
I don't know the answer to that, Jure, but
okay, for $4
a night, keep your expectations low, right?
Okay, well there you go. If you need a road trip this summer, Bend, Oregon, $4 a night. That's cheaper than the KOA parks that we were staying in.
It's a pretty good price. The other story that caught my eye. Now this is in the UK. It has not made it to the US yet, but I think it will. If you're a mask skeptic in the UK, you can link up with other mask skeptics. It's called OK Stupid, which that's the title that people on social media are giving this website. It's actually the name of the dating forum itself is called Lockdown Skeptics. But online, people are referring to it as OK Stupid. And because there's another online dating site, OK Cupid. I know you haven't hit that recently.
Yes, neither have I. No, I have not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. OK Stupid. Anyway, look, proving that there's a match for anyone and everyone, even if you're a skeptic with wearing masks. I don't know why, but at least in the UK, you can find your perfect match. God help us.
You can.
Jeez.
Sometimes these things just baffle me, my friend. I mean, if that's your qualification, somebody who doesn't wear a mask is my perfect match. Good luck. Please just don't procreate.
Well, no. No promises there. Oh, Jure. All right. Had to get that out
when
of the
we
way.
Get
what's
back.
Coming
yeah,
up next?
I know. I appreciate you having some fun stuff to start the show. We appreciate
I'm
that.
Trying.
And,
I'm trying.
And again, beware the birds, my friends. They are flying into plain glass windows, so be careful. When we get back, we're going to speak with Representative Rena Moran. She is from District 65A. She reacts to the primaries, and we talk Kamala Harris. Representative Moran is an African-American woman who's been in office here 10 years. We want to know what kind of situation she's faced that other lawmakers, maybe not of color, have not faced. So we'll talk about that next. 319, Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, thank you for spending some time with us today. So it was primary week here in Minnesota. We also learned of the announcement of Kamala Harris as the vice presidential pick to Joe Biden's presidential nominee. What is it like, though, to be an African-American woman, to be a black woman in political office? Now, this is different than it is to be a white man in political office. And if you think that it is not, you are wrong. It is different. There are differences, and I imagine much greater challenges. To talk about all of these things, including Kamala and the primaries, we are joined by Representative Rena Moran, DFL District 65A. She has been in office since 2010. This is her fifth term. Representative Moran, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation to join you today.
First of all, I just wanted to ask your reaction to the primary races here in Minnesota. Did anything surprise you, shock you, disappoint you?
I really was surprised to see some of my colleagues lose their seats. Some were endorsed and some were not endorsed. But I was a little surprised about with that.
Did you
but
feel
very
that?
Excited
more...
but also very excited about those who will be joining the House in 2021.
Did you feel that some of the candidates that were elected were more extreme, more to either the right or the left?
You know, really, I don't think any of them are extreme. If we look at Esther, which I don't know her district, you know, she's an attorney, she represents North Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. she's a professional. Through my conversations with her, I have not seen anything extreme, you know, with her. Mm-hmm. We also here in St. Paul, John Thompson is going to be representing St. Paul Eastside. I think through his activist work and the loss of his good friend, Philando Castile, it put him in a place where he wanted to see justice for that. Some may see him as extreme, but, you know, I think, you know, what I hear from him and so many other and myself is that we just want justice and fairness. There's nothing that is extreme about that. And that goes the same with Cedric and many of the other ones. It's nothing that I've seen yet that makes them extreme.
Representative Moran, this is Paul Douglas. Thank you for joining us. I just want to get your take, your reaction to Joe Biden picking Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. Personally, I mean, do you think that was a good move?
You know, I am pretty, pretty excited about Kamala being selected as Joe Biden VP. Very excited about it. And I think it was absolutely a great move. I think the moment in time that we are in this moment, she was an excellent candidate. You know, as we know, she is a U.S. Senator. She was in California Attorney General, and she also ran for president. I think she's an excellent choice.
She has been in public office and certainly in the public eye for decades. And you as well have been a representative for at least 10 years. What are some of the challenges as a Black woman that you feel that only Black women face as elected officials?
Well, and that would be so. I first was elected to the Minnesota legislature in 2010. I came in as one of three African Americans, shortly now current Senator Champion and Senator Hayden moved over to the Senate, left me. And there I was in the House alone as one African American person in a body of 134. And so what we are faced with is that often, you know, how we see the world, how we see solutions, how we see the need for policies to move and pass through the body is often different from those who have different experiences from us, from me. And so I think that is always a challenge when you begin to bring the viewpoints from, you know, your own life experience, the experience that comes from the community that is a reflection of you, when we talk about the inequities and the disparities, the injustices, those are experiences that often I had. And so those challenges to get others to see solutions the way you see solutions can sometimes be challenging if they have not lived those experiences. I know one of the things that as a first-term legislator and even throughout my tenure in the House of Representatives, one of the things that I consistently heard coming from, like, my rural legislators is that, you know, people, those city folks do not understand rural. They are leaving us behind. They're not doing enough for us. And I remember so often thinking to myself, wow, that is the narrative. That's my narrative. That is my narrative that I'm hearing coming from the rural community. So it's those same type of narratives or conversations or arguments that I hear from the rural community that is definitely the position as me as an African-American legislator that I would say often about my community being left behind or many in the legislation do not understand or the solutions that they're bringing to the table are not what is really needed for my community, for our kids, for the community to move forward and to be self-sufficient and to be the best that they need to be.
Representative Moran, I'm just curious to get your take on George Floyd's death, the aftermath, the convulsion, the racial reckoning that America and much of the planet has been going through ever since. Is this time different, in your opinion? Is this an inflection point? What do you see based on your experiences, the people you know and trust? Is this time different? Are we waking up to systemic racism in this country?
So for folks around the country, around the nation, around the world, to have this visual of a police officer with his neck on this black, his knee on this black man's neck, and as we slowly watch him die, it was hard. It was heartbreaking. It was an awakening, because for so many and for so long, when acts like that have happened and we didn't have that visual in front of us, it would be folks who don't look like me. It would be our Caucasian population who would often not say it out loud, but would think in their mind, that man did something wrong, or that young boy did something wrong, or that black woman did something wrong. And for this moment in time, we was able to see that a murder took place. We was able to witness this man beg for his life. We was able to witness him call for his mother. We were a witness to that. And so what that did is that it rose up the conscience of Minnesotans, the conscience of Americans, the conscience of people around the country for the injustice that we as black individuals have seen and know that was happening for, you know, decades. It was a reality for so many who have not had to live that life and live that experience. So it is different. It is different because for so long, we as Americans have lived off the marches and the protests of the 60s. And now, at this moment in time, as this reckoning has happened, and we believe it's happened for so many other black women, girls, and boys, that we have now have to be the conscience of the generation of tomorrow for our kids, for our grandkids, and for our great-grandkids. We, as individuals, have to set the direction and tone so that there is fairness, so that there is justice, so that there is equity. And when you see, you know, people of all different nationalities, whether you are black or Latina or Somali or Asian, or white men and women and boys and girls on the street protesting the injustice that they felt and seen, it is different. And this is our time to move our country forward.
Okay.
Representative Rena Moran, so appreciate your thoughts, your insights, and we appreciate you having this conversation with us today.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative.
Yes.
Yep, we hope she comes back on the show. She was joining us, by the way, on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline.
That's right. When we come back, some deep breathing exercises to calm you down and some breaking news out of Israel. That's coming up next.
I already feel calmer just listening to that. 3:36, welcome back to WCCO Radio. Welcome to Instagram Live at Jordana Verde. It is time for our meditation moment. Today, we are returning to 4-7-8 breathing, which has its roots in pranayama. That is how we breathe in yoga. All about helping people learn to gain control over your breath. So this is 4-7-8 breathing. You breathe in for 4, 2, 3, 4. You hold it for 7, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale slowly for a count of 8, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. do this 4 times. I know it's hard, but the point is to completely empty your lungs at the bottom of your breath. Now, 4-7-8 breathing can help you fall asleep faster. Breathe in for 4, 2, 3, 4. Hold for 7, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And exhale for 8. Exhale all of the air in your lungs. Keep going. 4 full breaths of that. It's called 4-7-8 breathing for a reason. Helps you remember that. So keep it going. Keep it going for the whole show. And Paul and I will continue live on WCCO Radio. Thanks for watching on Instagram, and thank you for breathing along with me at home.
Meanwhile, in a new attack ad, the Trump campaign has already labeled them Slow Joe and Phony Kamala. And if you have a slow and phony joke that doesn't end with those used to be Trump's nicknames for Eric and Don Jr., write to us at The Tonight Show Writers, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York, 10112.
Well, Jura, the president did have some good news. I think it's good news. Trump says that the United Arab Emirates have opened formal diplomatic ties with Israel. Full diplomatic ties as part of a deal to halt the annexation of occupied land sought by the Palestinians for their future state. By the way, the Palestinians not terribly happy about that, from what I understand. The announcement makes the UAE the first Gulf Arab state to establish formal diplomatic ties with Israel, and only the third Arab nation to have active diplomatic ties to Israel after Egypt and Jordan. And I was there. I've been to Israel 5 times. Turns out I'm 28% Ashkenazi Jew. And I didn't know that.
Welcome to the tribe.
Well, I'm a Jew for Jesus, but I got in on a technicality, but I did the 23andMe test, and I was surprised. But anyway, I've been over there 5 times, and we tried to go from Israel to Dubai, because Dubai is like Disneyland. It's bizarre. And you couldn't fly directly from Tel Aviv to Dubai. We had to stop and spend a night in Amman, Jordan. And then we could fly on from Amman directly to Dubai. But one of many things this impacts is air travel. So now apparently you'll be able to go right from Tel Aviv to Dubai.
This is exciting and historic. And in fact, I have a friend who is a former ambassador to Israel. He lives in Israel, 8 hours ahead. He might be sleeping now. I'm trying to get him to come on the show with us to break all of this down. There are a lot of things that are involved in this deal, but you're right about only being the third Arab nation that is interested in doing a peace deal with Israel. And this is also the first not land for peace deal. It's a peace for peace deal. And look, it has economic basis. So once everybody realizes that they should be prospering together instead of doing a blaming or trying to rewrite history, I think there could be peace in the Middle East, or at least diplomatic relationships that work toward not always wanting to murder a nation that you feel that has wronged you. So this is exciting. This takes a lot more nuance. I've been reading about it all morning. Clearly, this is big news in my circles. We've been reading about it all morning and trying to learn as much as we could about this deal and find out, well, is it really, you know, the positivity that we think it is? And right now, you know, it looks pretty good. And even the Egyptian president tweeted out, or he made the statement, the agreement to stop Israel's annexation of the Palestinians takes steps towards bring peace in the Middle East. He tweeted that he values the efforts in order to achieve prosperity and stability for a region. Once everybody realizes that peace and economic stability and prosperity is the goal for that region, I hope everybody will realize that they have the same goal. Nobody wants to live in fear. Nobody wants to live in terror. Nobody wants to live in poverty. And once that is the united goal of all in the Middle East, I really, in my heart, because I am an eternal optimist, I really believe that you can have people and cultures and religions coexisting in that area. And so far, again, I don't have a copy of the treaty, and I've read as much as is out there right now. So far, this looks like a really positive step.
No, I agree. And it hinges on Israel not annexing land in the West Bank. Because I think wasn't Benjamin Netanyahu was threatening to annex additional land. Mm-hmm. And apparently
it doesn't
that's
say the settlers
hold.
Have to leave, but it doesn't say the settlers have to leave. It just says they will not annex it and, you know, count it as part of Israel. But it also is a suspension of the annexation. That's how the verbiage right. reads in this. It is a suspension. It doesn't say they're never going to do it. And I'm sure some Arab nations would have liked him to concede that. But look, this is the first concession that I've heard Netanyahu willing to do about anything regarding the settlements. So you don't get anywhere when you dig your heels in the sands. The fact that Netanyahu took a step toward this with something we know he didn't want to do, again, that's positivity. Not everybody can stay in their corners and get everything they want. That's why they call it compromise.
Everybody has to give a little. So, yeah, some hopeful signs in the Middle East. We're looking for hopeful signs wherever they pop up.
Always.
When we come
always.
Back, Sloan Martin in our amazing newsroom has an update on charges apparently being filed against the protesters who toppled that statue of Christopher Columbus. Sloan will have the latest next.
John Choi charged an indigenous activist with a felony today in the toppling of the Christopher Columbus statue on state fairgrounds after the murder of George Floyd. This is a story that our own Sloan Martin has been working on all day. Sloan, what's the very latest?
Hey, Jordana, I just want to be sure that it's not the state fairgrounds, the state capitol grounds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's quite
correct.
A difference
correct.
There. I just want to make sure people correct. Are imagining so the right grounds here. But yeah, this is Michael Anthony Forsha is facing a felony charge, as you mentioned, first degree damage to property. The cost to repair the statue is put at nearly $155,000. And this happened on June 10th, a event and a protest organized by Forsha. And it's an example of how, in the wake of George Floyd's death, just this widespread reckoning with historical racism and colonialism and just deciding enough was enough. And they went down with the statue. They said they were informed on the spot that state troopers warned them of the charge, which, by the way, carries a maximum sentence of 5 years, a $10,000 fine or both. And they decided to go ahead with it. So that's where we're at now. But the interesting thing, Jordana, in a statement from Ramsey County Attorney John Choi, and because there was no news conference, we don't know the further details of this, but he said, we're working on developing a restorative process to give voice to divergent opinions and bring people who hold those together to determine how to best hold Forsha accountable while healing our community from the harm that was caused. So I think to me that is an acknowledgement of how complicated this issue is. Yes, it was against the law, but it is something that Native activists have been calling for decades.
Sloan, I'm curious, how did they track these protesters down? I mean, I realize there's no expectation of privacy, especially when you're in a public place, but did they use cell phone video or photos? How do they actually know who brought that statue down? Any idea?
It was a lot easier than that, Paul. They admitted on the spot that they did it. And state troopers were there on the scene, actually. I think that was how, determined they were to take this down, to have it be this symbol, this toppling of the Christopher Columbus statue. We knew there were state troopers on the scene. And even Forsha, who's the man who's been charged, the Native activist, he even had discussions with the lead state trooper who was on the scene about trying to keep the peace so they could clear the statue. There was some coordination there. So he very much, and even talking, according to the criminal complaint, even talking with investigators said, you know, I was the organizer, I was the one who did this, and I tried to go about the official legal processes for getting this taken down, but I think it was that spurring of George Floyd's death that finally just got a couple dozen folks out there.
Interesting how the use of possible restorative justice in this, because when you think of what he was doing, I mean, Christopher Columbus, yes, there are these, you know, fantasies about him discovering America, But he also used violence and slavery on the indigenous people. He forced conversion of native peoples to Christianity, introduced a host of new diseases that would have long-term effects on the indigenous community here in the United States. I mean, Christopher Columbus is the enslaver of many indigenous people, and that's how they view him. But interesting that he tried to go through the proper channels. He tried to, you know, make it safe for what he was going to do, and clearly is willing to be punished for this act of activism. So interesting the way he went about it, but I can absolutely see this coming to a head post George Floyd.
And I'm going to be interested to see how John Choi, the Ramsey County attorney, does decide to go forward with this, because this is a serious charge, a felony charge, a maximum of 5 years in prison, a $10,000 fine, or both. And it speaks to not just we talk about so much in the last several months having this reckoning with systemic racism and the historical kind of trauma of people of color and indigenous people that still exists to this day. But I think it's also challenging the iconography of America. Mm-hmm. The fact, everything you just said about Christopher Columbus, even Charles Lindbergh as well, and looking at his past history and anti-Semitic comments. And he has a statue as well on the Capitol grounds. So it's looking at, who do we revere? Who do we decide is worth revering in this way and honoring in this way? And should they really be honored in this way? So yes, he is facing a serious charge here. I want to point out too, this was a 13,000 page investigative file. And it was interesting too, maybe a little bit of division. According to the criminal complaint, national leaders with the American Indian Movement really severed all ties, said they did not have anything to do with this protest, did not sanction it. And they said Forsha not affiliated with their organization. Forsha is a local activist here with AIM. So a couple of other things to point out, but really, I think it is about confronting what these symbols mean, and you see it as a statue.
Exactly. Sloan, we have 30 seconds. How are the Lynx doing?
Big game tonight. They are tied for second place with the Las Vegas Aces. Odyssey Sims returns tonight. She gave birth in April and is playing a professional basketball game tonight. She was their leading scorer last year. Believe tip is at 8 o'clock, and they've been playing really well so far. Like a gritty group. Sylvia Fowles set the all-time rebounding record. She is a legend on the court. So that'll be a really fun one to tune into.
I knew you'd have a great answer to that too. Go
Lynx. Throw me a Lynx question anytime.
Yeah.
You got it.
Amen.
Right? Rather talk about the Lynx than Chris Columbus. Thanks, Sloan. You're the best.
Thank you, Sloan.
Thank you.
Sloan is the best.
No question. Jura, we have some questions about the U.S. Postal Service. What is going on? We're hearing all kinds of strange and troubling things. We'll have an update coming next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.